This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. This week marks the two-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. His death prompted calls for a change in police brutality and fighting systemic racism. Fareed Khan is the founder of Canadians United Against Hate and joins us today to reflect on the two-year anniversary. Fareed, thank you for making time to be with us today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Fareed, I know that yesterday ended up being a difficult day because so much of the attention was on the shooting that occurred in Texas, but it was indeed the two-year anniversary. I'm curious if you have a reflection on maybe some of the memorials that went on and some of the conversations that were, again, something of a side note yesterday, but still really important.
Yes, well, I participated in a George Floyd Memorial Lecture, which was organized by the Canadian Congress on Diversity, and it was an all-day event with various speakers talking about racism and issues of systemic and institutional racism and where we've come. I know that in the U.S., President Joe Biden signed an executive order related to racism and policing. And I think there were conversations happening primarily in the U.S., but also in Canada about where we are 2 years later, how far we've come, and how much more still needs to be done in fighting racism and addressing issues of racism and policing.
Fareed, I know it's a big, broad question, but to your mind, where are we right now? How far have we moved inside these last 2 years?
Well, within Canada, I'm going to say that we haven't moved as far as we need to move. The government obviously has acknowledged that there is racism in this country, that there is systemic racism in this country, and that's a starting point. But in terms of action, things have been limited. In the recent budget, there were funds that were allocated to fighting racism. It was $85 million over 4 years, but that's a pittance compared to the need there is out there to fight racism. We're having a rise in white supremacy across the country. Racism not just against blacks, but against all racialized minorities as at the highest level ever, according to a report released a month or so ago by Statistics Canada. We've had a 300% rise in anti-Asian hate crimes. Of course, last year we had the murder of the Afzal family, which is the third time that Canadian Muslims have been killed in acts of hate over the last 5 years. So we are not as far as we need to be. And while the government has committed funds, these funds are basically going to community organizations that are left to do the heavy lifting. And what we actually need is national leadership by the federal government, coordinated with provincial governments, and not only fight racism in society, but also address issues of systemic racism in the public sector and in large private institutions. As well, we need to rethink of how policing is done, because as we've seen far too often, there is a culture of racism in the policing fraternity.
So there are a couple of prongs to explore there in that answer. In terms of some larger scale programs to be funded and to be addressed, let's start just simply with the act of fighting anti-black racism or racism generally. What does that program look like? What would a more federal and provincial strategy look like to do that kind of combating?
Well, I think part of it is obviously to establish a national an aggressive national government-led anti-hate strategy targeting all forms of hate and bigotry and racism in society, as well as systemic and institutional racism and hate on all media platforms, with a strong focus on social media, because that's become a toxic environment where racist messaging is propagated, where people can gather together. And frankly, internet sites and social media platforms need to be held legally accountable for what they allow on their sites and platforms. We also need to have a public education component that tries to dispel the myths. Like, so for example, this shooter in Buffalo that killed members of the Black community. It was a meticulously planned, targeted act of hate. And he basically believed in this conspiracy theory, the Great Replacement Theory, where white supremacists say that there's a white genocide taking place because far too many people of color are in this country and being allowed into this country as immigrants. In Canada, there's also the issue of systemic racism in the RCMP, CSIS, and the Canadian Border Services Agency, which needs to be addressed. So we need to do a rethink of how justice is prosecuted and look at it through an anti-racism lens. As an example of leading by example, the federal government could do that by implementing a policy to diversify the top tiers of the federal civil service at the deputy minister, assistant deputy minister, and director general levels, and also among the boards of directors of federal agencies, commissions, and crown corporations, so that they reflect the ethno-racial diversity of Canada. And this can be mandated through legislation or regulations.
Yeah, that's something that we find ourselves talking a lot about on this airwaves in regards to inclusion, with the focus on disability often, saying that finding those token positions at the bottom rungs of the ladder to say, oh, we're doing diversity at the bottom rungs, that doesn't actually solve systemic issues inside institutions.
No, it doesn't. I think that in order, whether it's issues of disability, whether it's issues about representation within the LGBTQ2 community or racial diversity, we need to see people in leadership positions to demonstrate that there are people up there who have an understanding of the diverse workforces that are in the institutions which they run. If you look at the deputy ministers and assistant deputy ministers at the federal level, and I'm sure at provincial level as well, you will still find that they're largely white men. And that doesn't reflect the diversity of the society we live in anymore. And we need those diverse voices at the top so that policies, government policies, are implemented with an understanding of the diverse nature of society and to demonstrate inclusion and acceptance of that diversity.
Fareed, you mentioned the need to address racism inside police forces. You mentioned a couple of the national police forces as well as the military and CSIS and Canadian Border Services. What is being done and what can be done better to ensure that those institutions, whether it be local police, provincial police, national police, or even the report that we saw coming out of the military a couple of weeks ago, are suggesting that there's a real lack of work being done on the racism front. What can be done in those institutions?
Again, we need to go beyond words. The leadership of the RCMP, the commissioner, has, for example, expressed an understanding that there is systemic racism, but we haven't seen anything in terms of concrete actions as to what the RCMP is doing. Just for example, in February in Ottawa, we had an occupation, a protest would turn into an occupation that was organized by people with known histories of racism, white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia. And the citizens of Ottawa expected to be protected. We have a lot of protests in this city. They come and go, and that's fine. People have a right to protest. But what happened was the rights of the citizens of Ottawa were violated by these protesters. And it was found out that during the protest that some of the police were passing on sensitive security information to the protest organizers. And this begs the question, why? Some are saying that, had the protesters been Black or an Indigenous or people of color, the hammer of the police would have come down on them very hard, very quickly. But here we have white supremacists, people parading around with swastikas, Confederate flags, carrying anti-trans messaging, hateful messaging, who were basically allowed to have control of the downtown precinct of Ottawa for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And what does that say about the people who are charged with enforcing the law? I think that we have to look at policing not just at the federal level, but also in urban centers across the country, where there are numerous examples of police brutality against people of color. And we have to weed those people out of policing and make sure that there's an understanding among the police who are supposed to enforce the law that, no, you know, like laws are supposed to be applied equally to all, regardless of their skin color or faith or ability or sexual identity or what have you.
Fareed, I want to wrap on this question. And again, I know that the topic is complex, and I don't mean to be flippant, but we know that progress isn't always linear. We've had some really positive conversations in the last 2 years, but we've also had what you referenced last week in Buffalo with a racially motivated shooting. Are you hopeful at all about some of the progress we've made and some of the progress that we can continue to make?
That's funny you should ask that question. I actually get asked that question far more often than you would think. And there are times where I'm very, very frustrated about the slow pace of action on these issues. But I have to be hopeful. I have to be hopeful that we can build a better society where everybody feels included. Because if I don't have that hope, then it would be very difficult to continue doing this sort of work. This trying to deal with issues of racism and hate in society, trying to pursue issues of diversity and inclusion, it's very mentally taxing and emotionally draining. And yeah, I will tell you that there are times where I feel, you know, I ask myself, what am I doing? Am I having any impact? And then every so often, I will get an email or a message on Facebook or something. Or, you know, a friend will tell me, hey, Fareed, I heard you on the news, and keep it up. You're doing great. And we need voices like yours. And that's what keeps me going. And I think that's what keeps others who are doing the same type of work going as well. And so, you know, I am hopeful, but at times it's difficult.
Fareed, we're always grateful for your insight when you join us on this program. Thank you again for all the time you give us.
Thank you again for having me. I enjoy coming on your show.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.